Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching was recorded at our 2010 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Now, there's five things listed here. We've already talked about four of them, and did you know 99% of the body of Christ believes that we're redeemed from the dietary laws about can't eat shrimp and things like that. We're redeemed from the drink offerings. We're redeemed from the holidays, the Passover and all of those kind of things. We're redeemed from offering sacrifices at the new moons. But the Sabbath day, you got to keep the Sabbath day. How do you pick and choose one out of five and say that that is still for us and all of these other things are gone? And if you're going to say, oh, but we've still got to keep the Sabbath, well, then why don't you go back and keep these other four things that were pictures and shadows of things to come? I tell you, it's really hypocritical. It's not logical the way that religion just picks and chooses certain things. I mean, if you're going to be legalistic, be legalistic. Offer a sacrifice every new moon. Don't eat pork. Don't do all of these things. I mean, if you're going to be a Sabbath keeper, why not keep all of the other things listed in this verse? You know, the Sabbath was a picture. This was a shadow of things to come. What did the Sabbath shadow? The Sabbath was instituted after creation. God rested and blessed the seventh day, and man entered into the Sabbath. And he commanded us not to do any work on the Sabbath. People have gotten hung up on the observance of the day and have missed what it pictured. But what it was picturing is, it's picturing this thing where everything's complete. God's provided everything we'll ever need. And then as soon as man was created, we just enter in to just reaching out and taking what God has already provided. He already provided our food. He's already provided our air. You just breathe the air free. Amen. He's already provided it. And everything that we need is provided. And so we just instantly enter into a rest. And the Sabbath was a reminder that, you know what, it's not your effort. Even though you are planting seed, even though you till the ground, it's God that has provided the laws that make that seed grow. It's God that gives you the rain out of heaven that makes the plants grow. And it was a reminder that God is your source. Now see, we've lost some of this because we've grown up in a culture where the Sabbath is observed. And to us, it's just kind of a cultural thing and we don't think about it. But when God instituted the Sabbath with the Jews, did you know people were working 7 days a week, 15 hours a day, trying to grub out a living? And they didn't have a supermarket to go to and get their food from and stuff. And I mean, if they didn't have rain and if things didn't work, they could have a famine and they were just on the verge of starving. And they were working 7 days a week and barely getting by. And here come the Jews, and they take 1 day out of seven off. You know what? In the natural, you would think, well, they won't prosper. They'll never have as much as these other nations because they take 1 day out of seven off. And yet, because of God's blessing, because of their faith and trust in Him, God blessed their work more. And the Jews prospered than all of the other nations around them, working less and having more. And it was a testimony to them that God is your source. It's not just your effort. Yes, they were putting forth effort, but it was God blessing their effort. And in case anybody missed that picture, in the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus, they were commanded to take 1 year out of every 7 years off. Amen. They not only took 1 day out of every 7 days off, they were commanded to take 1 year out of every 7 years off. And let me read this to you out of Leviticus chapter 25. They were to proclaim the year of Jubilee. And it says here in Leviticus 25:20, it says, "And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, ye shall not sow nor gather in your increase. Then will I command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth for 3 years. Ye shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of the old fruit unto the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store." So what he's saying is, he commanded them to take 1 year out of every 7 years off. And they said, well, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? Just like clockwork, on the sixth year, he would give them three times a normal increase. And that would sustain them through the sixth year, through the seventh year, and through the eighth year while they were sowing their crops. It was absolutely miraculous. There was no rhyme or reason for this. But it was just supernatural. And you know what it was? It was called a Sabbath year. You took one day out of seven off. You took one year out of 7 years off. And it was a Sabbath year. And God just blessed them. And it was to prove to them that, you know what? Even though you are working, even though you till the ground and sow the seed, it is God that gives the increase. God is your source. And it was to remind them that you're supposed to rest in the Lord. And this rest that is still for the people of God that was spoken of in Hebrews chapter 4, this is what it's picturing. That you know what? We still have to pray. We still have to seek the Lord. We study the Word. We do things. But you know what? All we're doing is laboring to rest in the Lord. God, by grace, has already provided everything. He's made all of the provision that you will ever need for anything. And what we've got to do is just rest in this. And just reach out and say, thank you, Father. I take my healing. I believe that I receive. I don't know if you get this, but this is what Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about. That there is a rest unto the people of God. There is a place that very few Christians have entered into. Most Christians are trying to get God to do something instead of resting in the completed work of Christ. When you got born again, that was a new creation. And did you know what? When you got born again, in your born again spirit, God already has done everything that you will ever need in your life. You've got enough power to raise Jesus from the dead. It's on the inside of you, and it's more than enough for cancer, than for AIDS, for your hangnail, for glaucoma, for what anything that's happening. God has already placed on the inside of you more than enough power to deal with any sickness or disease that ever comes your way. He's already given you the power to get wealth. He's already blessed you and commanded a blessing upon you. Jesus died and became poor so that you through his poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. He's already placed that power and anointing on the inside of you. And all you got to do is mix it with faith and go out and start believing and do something. See, this is why I am just totally against the way that welfare is administered in this country. I believe that anybody could need help temporarily. Anybody could be in trouble. But to be where you just live month after month, and they're extending this welfare, unemployment and stuff like this, it's detrimental. And I know lots of people that won't go get a job at McDonald's because welfare will pay you more than you can make at McDonald's. And people think, why would I go do that when I'm getting paid to do nothing? The difference is that God said he would bless what you set your hand unto. He will multiply it. If you set your hand times nothing, 100 times zero is zero. But if you go out and work at McDonald's and do something, he will bless what you do. And a person who is working at McDonald's can start receiving the blessing and the multiplication of God, and God can increase you. And I can guarantee you, if I went and got a job at McDonald's, it wouldn't be long till I owned that place. I'd become the manager and then I'd own it. God will bless what you set your hand unto, but God is not going to bless nothing. And yet we've got a welfare mentality and we're rewarding people for doing nothing. It's an ungodly principle. The scripture says, if you don't work, don't eat. Now, again, anybody might be in a pinch where you could use help from some people. I'm not saying that you're bad if you've gone on welfare, but I'm saying to live on welfare, to dwell there, to be a second and third generation, you're missing the blessing of God. You aren't appropriating what God has done. You aren't believing that God has given you power to get wealth. You're sitting there mooching off of other people, and that is not a godly system. Amen. Boy, I'm glad I'm leaving tomorrow. It's a tough group. You may not like what I'm saying, but everything I'm saying is based on Scripture. There's a lot of people that say, well, I don't care. They aren't going to let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. But I'm telling you that God has already provided these things, but it's got to be accessed and appropriated the way that He provides in Scripture. God has provided healing. He's provided deliverance. He's provided joy. He's provided prosperity. He's provided all of these things. But you have to labor to enter into rest. If you kept reading in Hebrews chapter 4, after it talks about all of these benefits of just resting in the Lord and receiving this, then it says, let us labor to enter into His rest, lest any of us should seem to come short of it. Now again, see, if you think of rest as laying down and taking a nap, then this doesn't make sense, that you have to work at resting. But if you look at resting as, I am going to stand in the fact that everything I'll ever need has already been provided for me, and I'm just going to rest in that. Boy, it takes work to rest. You are going to have to spend time in the Word of God renewing your mind and getting to where what God says about you is more real than what the banker says about you, than what your neighbor says about you, than what they say on the news. It's going to take effort to get to where what God says, that He supplies your need according to His riches and glory, is more real to you than what the recession is saying about all of the hardship and things like this. You know, in Colorado Springs, there are, I don't even know, but 150 or something parachurch ministries. And when this recession hit October 2008 and they started talking about it, did you know we have access to some of these parachurch ministries? And there were many of them that started planning for a 15, 20, 25% decrease in their income. They started cutting out programs. I read about some of the missions group that cut out their missions and cut back on reaching people with the gospel. They were anticipating a decrease in their income. And guess what? It happened. With us, it's been just the opposite. We had, I think, a 24, 25% growth during the recession. We went up while other people went down.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on what we've already been given in Christ. This teaching series was recorded at our 2010 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM242 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to become a part of what God is doing here in Colorado Springs. This is where we're training our Bible college students, and they are literally going around the world. I'm convinced that this is how God has ordained that we change the body of Christ, is through discipleship, and that's what we're doing. We're building a headquarters where we can have a campus with 3,000 students. And to do that, it just takes a lot of money. God has supplied us with a beautiful acreage in Woodland Park that we're calling the Sanctuary. And we're calling the people who help us accomplish this project and raise up a first-class Bible college campus, our foundation builders. I ask you to pray about it and then call and become a foundation builder today.